Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. All right, let's begin reading there. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In verse number 9, the Bible says, and to desire. This morning I want to speak to you for a few moments about God's desire for his church. God's desire for his church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word today. I pray that you'll speak to each of us during this time. We pray for the Sunday school classes that are going on this very moment as well, that you will help the children there to learn more about Jesus and about the story that they're learning today. And Lord, meet with us here in this room in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. That word desire is a very important word. I know that we all have desires for our lives. You have a desire for your personal life, maybe what you would like to do with the remainder of your life or with the rest of your life, or if you're like these two on the front, they, at least as far as we know, because they look young, and this one over here, they may have a lot of life left, although we don't know how much life we have, but we have a desire. You have a desire if you're if you have children, you have a desire for them and what you would like for them to do with their life. And if you are a grandparent today, you have a desire for your grandchildren and that you would want for them to do and to succeed, of course. But we all have desires. I like to reminisce at times in my preaching, and I'll do that a little bit this morning. I had a desire when I was the age of these boys here today, maybe even a little bit younger. I had a desire to be, and I've told it before, so it's a repeat if you've heard it. I give you permission to go to sleep during this part of the message. I'll wake you up when the story's over. I'm kidding, of course. But I had a desire to be a great basketball player. That was my desire. I desired that from the time I was old enough to carry a basketball and I went to practice with my dad. My dad has been involved in basketball since, when he played it in high school, and now he's been a coach for over 30 years. And so growing up in a coach's home, of basketball, you know, that's just kind of the thing. When you're the first one born and you're a son, you're going to have a basketball in your bassinet. You're going to have a basketball in your crib. You're going to have a basketball everywhere. You're going to have them all over. And when I was old enough to walk and got a little bit older, I began to go to practice with my dad. And I'd go to kindergarten in the morning and then go to the babysitter in the afternoon. And then I'd come to the practice at the gym, which my babysitter wasn't very far away. And I would get in underneath guys' feet and they'd step on me. You know, I'd trip over them. They'd trip over me. But I was always around the basketball practice team. Then when we would go to the games, I was always there as well, and up until I was five, I didn't have any brothers or sisters, and my brother was born when I was 5 years old, but I would be sitting behind my dad as he drove the bus many times, and always excited about the basketball game, Then I got to be a little bit older, and I was able to play organized basketball, and enjoyed that, and had a desire to always get better at it, and practice, and exercise, and keep my body fit, because I had a desire to be a great basketball player. Then I got into junior high, and the stakes got even higher. You know, now you're playing, you know, in a seventh and eighth grade team, and going against other Christian schools, and had a desire to be good at basketball. Then I got into my grade 9 year, which in our school, that was the beginning of high school. And now the stakes were getting even higher. And, you know, you're getting to playing bigger players and faster players, and the competition is getting greater. But the desire never changed. The desire was there to be successful at the sport of basketball. And I had a wonderful time in high school playing, and all the way up until then playing the game of basketball. That was a desire. I wanted to shoot the ball like Larry Bird. Has anybody ever heard of Larry Bird? Famous, okay, a few of you. Now I'm dating myself, all right? Larry Bird, you know, great basketball player in the 70s and 80s. Not a very good, if you looked at the way he shot the basketball, you would say it's very unorthodox. And it didn't follow the fundamentals of basketball. But I'll tell you, the guy was an excellent shooter from the field, over 50%, I think, for his career. And free throw shooter, sometimes up in the 90 percentile. I desired to shoot the ball like him, and I desired to pass the ball like Magic Johnson. You know, he used to run down the court and throw the ball behind his back between his legs, and it would get to the player, you know, and his eyes being closed. And I mean, I always thought, boy, if I could only do it like that. And then I never said I wanted to be like Michael Jordan, because I could never jump as high as him anyway, as you can tell by looking at me this morning. That would never happen. But I had a desire to be successful at it. Nothing wrong with having desires. And there was nothing wrong as a child to have that desire of being a great basketball player. I'm just trying to get you the idea of desire. I'm talking about when I had that desire, I was up early in the morning and practicing on our gravel driveway out in the country with the cornfield surrounding and a barn there and the whole works. And I was up early practicing, and I was up until it was dark and later in the day practicing. Why? Because there was a desire there. Desire to be great at something. As I said a moment ago, we as parents should desire for our children to be what God wants them to be. I didn't say we should desire for our children to be a pastor or a pastor's wife or missionary, although that's okay to pray that way, but my desire for my children is to follow whatever God wants them to do with their life, whatever it is. Desire. As a teenager, I had a desire to make it through grade 12 and get my diploma. How many of you had that desire as well? Sure, we all did. Wanted to get that diploma. Then I fulfilled that dream. Didn't think it would happen sometimes. Then I got into university. I got into college. Then my desire changed. My desire was to receive that college diploma. And at some points during college, I thought that desire would never come true. I thought, boy, there's no way I'm going to get the diploma. I'm going to walk across the platform at the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, and I'm going to get the diploma, and I'm going to come down the other side. I'm going to open it up, and there's going to be nothing in there. They're going to play a joke on me. That's what they're going to do to me. I said, boy, I desire to get that diploma, but I don't know if I'll ever, ever get it. But I did. In May of 1996, that desire was fulfilled. Sometime during college, I was dating my wife, and she wasn't my wife yet. I was dating my girlfriend, who at the time was Becky Bailey. And boy, I had stars in my eyes, you know. You know how it is, men. You know, the women, they put the perfume on, and they put the makeup on, and they just reel us in, man. They put the hook in, and they bait it, and they reel us in, and we're sunk for the rest of the night. They get us, you know. I better be careful. This is being taped this morning. You know, I had a desire to marry Becky Bailey. That was I believe that was the woman that God had for my life. And I had a desire to marry her and spend the rest of my life with her. July 9th, 1994, that desire was fulfilled. In our home church in Adrian, Michigan, we stood there on the platform, and our pastor, Dr. Mike Cox, married us. And this July 9th will mark 10 years. I just can't believe it. It's been one decade. And that desire was fulfilled, and we look back on that, and we're still young, but we're not in our 20s anymore. We've passed that, and we look back on all the memories that God has given to us, all the difficult times, all the wonderful times, all the mountaintops, all the valleys, and that desire is still there to spend the rest of my life with Becky Turner. Desire. What does desire mean? Desire means this: an emotion or excitement of the mind directed to the attainment or possession of an object from which pleasure, intellectual or spiritual, is expected. Desire. Paul said this in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. Maybe you've heard this verse and maybe you know it. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be what? Saved. That's right. He had a desire. Paul had a desire out in front of him that he wanted those Jewish people, that he wanted those Israelites to hear the gospel, and he wanted them to hear about Jesus Christ. What is a desire? A desire is an emotion and an excitement of the mind directed toward the attainment or possession of an object, whether intellectual or spiritual. Paul had a desire spiritually for those people. He said, my desire and prayer is that those people might be saved. How many of you know, and I'm laying the groundwork here about desire for a few more minutes, and then we're going to look at God's desire for his church. How many of you know who Howard Schultz is this morning? If I said that name, you'd be able to tell me who that is. If I tell you what company he's associated with, you'll know. Howard Schultz. That's a good Jewish name, isn't it? Howard Schultz. Think coffee. Thank you. There you go. Good. Now we all know who he is. Howard Schultz had a desire to take a little one store in Seattle, Washington, back in the, I think it might have been 70s or the 80s. Can't remember now. And he had a desire. What was desire? He had an emotion or excitement of the mind to attain a possession. He wanted to take that one coffee shop. He had a desire to turn it in. I doubt very seriously to what it is today, but he had a desire to make it a successful business. A desire. I said a moment ago about Michael Jordan. Everybody knows that name. Michael Jordan had a desire to be the greatest basketball player in all the world. Many people, if you'll ask, that are in the sports world, they would probably agree with that. He won 6 NBA basketball championships during his career, scored an umpteen number of points, and really changed the game of basketball when he came on the scene in 1984. Desire. How many of you have heard of Christopher Columbus? Okay. He had a desire too, didn't he? He had a desire to sail across the ocean. He had a desire to prove what he knew was right according to what? The Bible. He knew the earth wasn't flat. And he wanted to prove that. He had a desire. And off he went. How about the Apostle Paul? We just read about his desire. Of course, he had more than one, I'm sure. But he had a desire to see that the Israeli people might be saved. David had a desire, a great desire. And boy, that was a big desire that he had in front of him, didn't he? It was a tall desire. And big and ugly and smelly. That big old Goliath. His desire was to take him out for God's glory. Desire, an emotion or excitement directed to the attainment or possession of an object, whether intellectual or spiritual, a desire. Okay, desire. We get the idea? Desire. In our passage of Scripture that we read this morning, we see God's desire for his church. Let me stop for a minute and just say this, and I know you know this already to be true, but to remind you that this body of people, a body of baptized believers, a body of believing people in Jesus Christ called the church, is not our church. You know that. It is not Pastor Turner's church. It is not any particular member of this church. It's not your church. It's not those that attend this church. Altogether, all of us, it is not our church. It is his church. Therefore, it is our job to find out what the desire is of God for this church. You see, the desire for this church is not my desire. That's very important, you know, because my desire someday may be for this church to go in a certain direction, and if it's not God's desire, then it's wrong. You see, the church is not man-made, it's God-made. The people of the church are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and this church should be in the desire that God has for this church. And I believe it is. We're not perfect, but I believe we're headed the right way, and we want to serve God, and we want to glorify him. But oh, in our infant stages of our church, may we ground and may we get settled on the rock that this is not our church people. This is his church. Therefore, every decision that is made, everything that we do, we need to make sure that it's part of God's desire for this group of people. Amen? Amen. God's desire, not my desire. My desire might be to have a different program. I'm not saying this is the only way to have a church. I'm just saying our church should line up with God's desire. Man's desire for the church may be big, beautiful buildings, and there's nothing wrong with that. Man's desire for the church may be lots of money in the bank. Nothing wrong with that. Man's desire for the church may be a large number in attendance, and there's nothing wrong with that. Man's desire for the church may be that the pastor have national recognition, and that, oh, when his name is seen in lights and stars and all that, and he sees his name in a Christian publication, that may be some desire of man. But this morning, let me say, that is not my desire. Those are all, there's nothing wrong with those things. But my desire and your desire should be that of to follow whatever God's desire is. If God's desire is for us to have a brand new building, then amen, let's have a brand new building. If God's desire is for us to meet in the Cameron Rec Center for 5 more years, then that's exactly where we need to be for 5 more years. You see, it's not my desire. Hey, I desire a place where once these speakers are set up, they don't come down. That's my desire. My desire is that this pulpit will be able to be parked somewhere and not have to be put on somebody's shoulders and put in the back of my van and carried around. You know what the funniest thing is? You should cross the border with me sometime with my pulpit in the back. What do you do up there? Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, you got anything in the van here? Personal mail, you know, or something like that. And they walk to the back of the van and they peer in the back. The border guard comes up to me with a big grin on his face. You carry that thing everywhere you go? And I said, well, you never know when an opportunity might arise. And I said, no, we don't have our own building. So anyway, I've explained it to 3 or 4 of them, and some of them know me already, and they know that I carry my pulpit with me everywhere I go. But I desire for the day when I can look in the back of the van and there's no pulpit in there. Why? Because it's at the Anchor Baptist Church building. But you know what? If that's not God's desire, then I don't want it. I want God's desire. I think we can see many times God's desires are different than ours. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Now, what about this passage this morning? Let's see a few things from this passage, I believe, that we need to think about when it comes to desire. Look at verse number 9, if you will. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. The introduction is probably as long as the rest of the message. So if you'll follow along, I think this will be helpful to you this morning. The Bible says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire what? That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Number one, I believe God's desire for this church and for you and for me is that we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. I basically preached this point already. Let me give you a little bit of scripture. Think about this for a moment. Psalms 143 in verse number 10. And if I don't give you time to look all these up, it's because I've written them out. And if you have a pen, write them down. If you want to get any tapes, get the tape. And if you don't catch one of the verses, I'll give you the tape. That's not a problem. Make a copy of it for you. Psalms 143 verse 10, David said this, teach me to do thy will. Teach me. So the first thing I see here this morning is that desire of God for this church and for us as individuals is that we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. What else can we read about in Psalms 97 in verse number 10? Psalms 97 verse number 10, the Bible says, ye that love the Lord. Okay, now we're going to find out what the will of God is right here. Part of it. Listen now. Ye that love the Lord, what does it say? Hate evil. Write it down. I know you trust me. Think about it. Psalms 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Did it say hate people? Did it, Jack? No, it didn't. All right. No good. We don't hate people. Never, we should ever have that attitude of hate toward any group of people. I don't care if they disagree with you on everything spiritually. I don't care if they don't believe the Bible. There is nowhere in the Bible you'll find that we're to hate anyone. But God says, if you want to be in my will, if you love me, you can't love me and then hold on to evil, because that doesn't mix, like water and oil. He says, if you love me, you will hate evil. How about this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. Listen to this. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So number one this morning, we need to have the knowledge of God's will so that we can know what the desire of God is for you and for his church. Now, I want us all to turn to this verse. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. desire. Boy, get a desire in your heart to do something for God. Have that desire. Have that desire and say, God, put your desire in my heart so that as I do your will, I'll do your desire as well. That your desires will become mine. What does the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 3? We're talking about the will of God. You say, what is the will of God, Pastor Turner? I just can't see it. What is the will of God? 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's a big word. You know, every time I read sanctification, I don't know about you, but every time I read sanctification, I think of a coffee. Do you know what brand of coffee I'm thinking of? Sanka. I don't know why. Just thought I'd share that with you. That was free. every time I see that word, I think of that. Anyway, the will of God. What is the will of God? The Bible says it's sanctification. Okay, now what is that? What in the world does that mean? That word means this: to cleanse or purify or to make holy. To cleanse or purify or to make holy or to separate. To separate. Okay, so if you have an item at home, and let's say it's water. Many of you today, do you mind if I hold this for a second? Okay. Good. This is a great illustration, Jack. I won't drink any of it, I promise. This is a Nestle Pure Life natural spring water. And it was bottled in Hope, B.C. I didn't think there was any hope, but there is. Hope, B.C. This water has been, we hope, they tell us, it's been purified, or it's natural spring water, which means there's nothing added to it, at least we hope. Let's see. I don't see anything added to it. Maybe some minerals. Mineral salt content. All right. We have a Brita at home. Maybe you use something like that, or maybe you buy bottled water. I don't know. But we take that and we put it under the faucet and we turn it on. And we run the water through the Brita. Before I make coffee, or before I have tea, or my wife has tea, or before we make Kool-Aid, or before we use anything in that water that we're going to drink. What are we doing to that water? We're trying to sanctify that water. Yeah, big word, but that is true. We're trying to cleanse it. We're trying to purify it. We're trying to take things out of it that would be harmful to us. We're trying to eliminate whatever's in that water that we don't want in our drink or our body as we drink it. That's a very silly illustration, but it proves a great point. God says, my will is for you to be sanctified. You know what that means? That means that we need to cleanse or purify our lives. That means we need to separate our lives. That means our lives need to be taken and the spiritual Brita needs to be pulled out. Spiritual Brita, by the way, is the Word of God. And we need to run our life through the Word of God and see, what is there in our life that needs to be purified? What is there in our life that needs to be cleansed? We're talking about the will of God. Why are we talking about the will of God? Because we want to know what God's desire is for you and God's desire is for me. To be purified, to be made holy, to be separate. God desires that we live according to His will, which includes a pure, cleansed life. Pure. You know, we've gotten away from one thing, many things, but we've gotten away from holy living. That word scares us sometimes. Holy living. You know what we need to do? We need to get back to that. I need to get back to that. I need to be as close. I need to be living my life holy, sanctified, pure, set apart, separate, clean. Why? Because that's God's desire. God's desire for His church to be following His will. Number one, we saw in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, we saw that God's desire is to come under the knowledge of His will. And we talked about a few things that would be considered part of God's will this morning. Number two, verse number 10, Colossians 1, verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. The second thing I see is God's desire for us as a church is to walk worthy of the Lord. Think about this verse, Luke 9:23. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny what? himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's just do a little evaluation this morning. You do it internally, I'll do it internally. This last 7 days, 6 days since last Sunday, have we walked worthy of the Lord? Think about it. Now, this is true even though you can't see him. But everywhere, for me, everywhere that these 9.5 men's shoes took me this week as I walked, where was the Lord? His presence was with me. Holy Spirit was inside of me. And every step that I took this week, he watched. We say, some people say they look around, you know, okay, no one's looking, so. No, somebody's always looking, you know. Walk worthy. Have I walked worthy? Listen to this statement, and it's going to tongue-tie you because I don't even know if I can read it. I'm telling you, if you have a pen, you may want to write it down because an older gentleman in Bible college gave this phrase, and I'll never forget it. Listen carefully. Your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. How many of you got that the first time through? Should I do it again? Your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. How about the interpretation now? The way you live speaks louder than the way you talk. That's what that means. And this your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk. You can tell I've heard that a few times. I had this guy, this professor in college. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I think I had to write it on an exam one time. But you know what? It's so true. You know what? Let me give you an example. I say one thing here on Sunday as a pastor of this church. And what if you saw me this week out in the community doing something that I preached about Sunday that we shouldn't do, and here you are walking down the, and your mouth drops to the sidewalk because there is Pastor Turner and he is doing thus and so. That's what he preached on Sunday. My walk will talk louder than my talk. That's so true. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. The Bible says we need to walk worthy of the Lord. Be honest with you, if that's the only thing you go home with today, then you've got a jewel. And it, you know why? I didn't give it to you. Somebody gave it to me and I'm just passing it on. But if that's all we get from the message today, that our walk talks louder than our, I think you can get more than that. But boy, grab a hold of that. Watch where you're walking. You know, I think about that. Oh, man. You know, I think about that more. But we should all think about that. Not just the pastor. The pastor shouldn't just, well, okay, I'm going here, I'm going there. Is everything in order, you know? What if somebody sees me, you know? You know? No, we should, our walk should be worthy of the Lord. You know why? Because Jesus is walking with us. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of you as a Christian. And every place you go, you're taking him there with you. Is it worthy of the Lord? Number three. Verse 10 says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Also, it says being fruitful in every good work. So, number three, we need to be fruitful in all things. In other words, we need to show forth Christ in every area of our life. This kind of goes along with walking worthy of the Lord. At work, at school, at the mall, in the neighborhood. We need to be fruitful in all things. We need to work hard. I love it that the men of our church and the women of our church that are out there are working hard and we're representing Jesus Christ. You know, they used to tell us at college, because many of us men worked and had to, well, ladies too, but we worked off campus. Many ladies worked on campus. And one of the men used to say, and when you go to work, you either, crawl in or walk in or something. Don't call in, crawl in. That's what it was. You know, if you're sick, crawl in, you know. I mean, if you're sick, don't go, because we don't want to spread the flu. But you know what I'm saying? If I stub my toe, oh boy, if in Bible college, if I stub my toe or something like that, you know, or I had an ingrown toenail or an ingrown fingernail, there was no way I would miss work, because I would have hurt it big time. You know, because they reported, our bosses called the college if we weren't doing what we were supposed to, and we'd get in trouble. I want to be fruitful in every area. I want to show forth. Why do I want to be fruitful in every area? Why do I want to worry about what my walk and talk are doing? Why? Because someday somebody may watch me and say, boy, that's the local pastor and he's going there. That's the local. They go to that local church down there and they're doing this or they're doing that. Boy, there's no difference in them and me. So why do I need to go to church? Be fruitful in all things. Number four, number 11 says, strengthen with all might. We need to be strong. Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. Power. God's desire for the church. We are to be strong for him. Let me close with this. Verse number 12. If you still got your Bible open, if you don't, listen carefully. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. I believe the desire God has in another area for us is to be thankful people. I believe God desires for us as a Christian to be thankful. I believe God desires for you and me and this church body to be thankful. God's desire. Psalms 95 and verse number 2. Let us come before his presence with complaining. The NBT, the New Ben Turner Version. No. Let us come before his presence with griping. No. Let us come before his presence doubting. No. Let us come before his presence wanting to change his mind. No. Let us come before his presence with a new game plan. No. We come before his presence with thanksgiving. Thankfulness. We are trying to teach that to our children. And I'm having flashbacks of the dinner table, only I'm 7, and I'm at the dinner table, and I'm hearing things out of my mouth that I heard with these ears 24 years ago. It's flashback time. You ever go through that? I didn't know I'd ever go through this. I'm hearing flashbacks. Be thankful for the food on your plate. Flashback. I heard that 24 years ago, I think. I think I heard my dad tell me that a few times. We're having this? Oh boy, that was a no-no. You didn't say that. Mm-mm. And we're trying to teach him and her the same thing. I don't mean you have to come to the table and stare into that broccoli and have a hallelujah Pentecostal fit. Hey, man, broccoli. You don't have to do that. If you're doing that and you're a kid, no, that's okay. If you like broccoli and you're a kid, you're fine. I didn't really care for it much, but boy, I can eat raw broccoli, cooked broccoli, steamed broccoli and cheese, broccoli casserole. I'll eat any kind of broccoli. Pickled broccoli. Anybody got a recipe for pickled broccoli? Maybe you can make some of that. That'd be good. Thankfulness. Desire of God this morning is for you and me to be thankful. Why don't we go to the downtown east side? It won't take you long to get there, ladies and gentlemen. I was just there on Friday night at the mission. Why don't we take you to the back? Why don't we take you underneath some bridges in Vancouver for a minute? Where some people set up shop where they live. Very quickly, we will begin to be thankful. It shouldn't get to that, though. We should have the desire. We should have God's desire, and that desire is to be thankful. I love what Ephesians 5:20 says. It's very convicting. It says this. If I can speak here, giving thanks always for all things. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. Our desire sometimes can be to have more and more and more. We've been talking about Solomon on Wednesday nights. Boy, he had it all. But even though he had it all, he said in Ecclesiastes over and over again, this is just vanity. This is just vanity. Sometimes we can get like that, and we've all been there. How about this prayer? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. You know that song? Sing it with me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. That's all. God's desire is for you and me to be thankful. I mean, if this is the only set of clothes I had today, I mean, I'm glad it's not, but if it was the only one, and I had eternal life, like somebody said this morning, standing on the promises, eternal life, what more could I want? Really, think about it. If all we had is what we're wearing now, and the food we ate this morning, or the coffee that you drank, what more do you need? God's given you eternal life. God's given me eternal life through His Son. It was free. It was free to you and me. Boy, did it cost Jesus something. God had a desire for each of you this morning and me as well. He wants us to know His will. He wants us to walk worthy. He wants us to be fruitful in all things. He wants us to be strong. And He wants us to be thankful. Why don't we today take these desires from Colossians chapter 1 and make them our desires? Maybe they already were. Maybe one of them I need to work on. Maybe two of them, three of them, four of them, five of them. Maybe I need to take all five and just say, okay, I'm going to desire the same thing God desires for me. Desire. Do you have the desire? I started the message off by telling you about my desire to be a great basketball player. I don't have that desire anymore. That was a desire as a child, and it was okay to have that desire. But I don't have that desire anymore. I have the desire for my life to live each day to draw closer to my Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a great desire to have. Some days I don't do very good at that desire. But the desire's there. Every morning when I get up, first of all, I'm glad I can get up. And we should be thankful for that. I always say, dear Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for another day of living. Thank you for another day that I can breathe. And you've allowed me to live. Help me today to live like you would live if you walked in my shoes. Let's have God's desire today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love you give to us. Thank you that you are. We talked about it this morning. We stand on your promises. You're faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we're so thankful for that. Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us. You give us joy. You're long-suffering. Lord, I pray today that we would want to have the right desires. That as a church, we would not desire to be necessarily famous or whatever, but we would have your desires. As a Christian, may we have your desires. May we not have the desire necessarily to be wealthy or whatever, but may we desire to follow you. Nothing wrong with money, if that's the desire you have for us. Help us to live according and walk worthy of you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. This was a message this morning to the believer, pretty much. This was a message this morning to those that have, if they died today, they would go to heaven. But by way of starting the invitation, you know, really, you won't know God's desire until you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You won't know God's desire for your life until you've made Jesus your Savior. Every one of you have heard the plan of salvation before. You've heard how you know, you've heard the way to get to heaven through Jesus Christ and what He's done. You've heard before that we're all sinners and that sin has separated us from God and we deserve hell, but Jesus paid that price for us on Calvary because He had never sinned. He was God's Son. He was a gift. And all we have to do by faith is receive Him into our heart, ask Him to forgive us and to be our Savior. And then we will begin to know what His desire is for our life. I trust today, as we have the invitation, if you're not sure 100% if you died today that you'd go to heaven, that you wouldn't put that off again. That you wouldn't say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait till next Sunday. I'll wait till the following. No, don't do that. If you've never been saved and that's what you're thinking, then the devil is talking to you, and don't listen to him. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're already saved, but maybe the desire of your life hasn't been in line with what it should be. The first step to us being growing as a Christian is to be able to take something, a message of this kind, and say and admit, I need to work on a certain area. And as I prepared this message, I can guarantee you, and even this morning, I'll be praying about some desires in my life that need to be directed toward God's desires. Maybe that's something in your life today. You need to, as we stand in a moment, maybe you need to come forward and say, Lord, help me to have the right desires. That's between you and God. I don't know what it might be. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me just for a moment? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. What about it today? Did the Holy Spirit of God tap you on the heart during the message? And there's something when it comes to desire that you need to come forward this morning and have a word of prayer about? Are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven today? Don't walk out of a church not knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. We can take the Bible and show you what I talked to you about briefly during the invitation. How to be saved, how to know you're a child of God. What about it today? The music will play just a few verses. Maybe there's a desire that you need to come forward tonight, this morning, and ask God to help you with. Maybe there's a desire that you need to have that we talked about today, and you need to come and take care of that. Whatever it may be, the music will play just for a few minutes today. Don't wait. The Holy Spirit's grabbing your heart. Don't wait. Don't grab a hold of that chair. Just come on. Let's do business with God about the right desire. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. We do pray that you'll give us safety as we return to our homes and give us a great afternoon. May we consider this truth this morning of God's desire for our lives and for this church. Lord, we do pray for this evening's service and then a very important meeting that we have afterwards. God, that you'll be in the entire service, both the service and the meeting, that everything that's said and done would bring honor and glory to you. Thank you once again for giving us a building to meet in. In Jesus' name, amen.